to work on the project independence. Our staff did presentations for several organizations explaining about our services. Some of them were Fountain Point in Norfolk, the area of aging in Norfolk, the Nebraska Statewide Workforce Training Group, the UNO Campus for the Asili program, the Transition Conference on Supporting Students with Multiple Impairments, and a number of nursing homes. We also had a booth in different areas, like the Lincoln Civil Rights Conference, the Resource Fair in Lincoln, the South Central Town Hall Caregiving Coalition in Hastings, and the Salvation Army for the Healthy Aging. We also network with NCECBVI in Nebraska City and several teachers for the visually impaired from around the state and presented to parents of blind students. We also presented or networked with the Capital Humane Society, IHOP Restaurant in Lincoln, the Fremont YMCA, the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, the Children's Hospital, Goodwill. Staff also attended the Norfolk Coalition meeting, the United Way meeting in Columbus, right here, Lincoln Public School Parents Open House, and several job expos and job fairs. The employee Kearney, Grand Island, Lincoln, and Omaha. The UNK Disability Awareness Week. Project search meetings. Work with employers to make their system accessible so blind consumers can work there. Number of clients on all statistics shared at the end of the period. For OIB was 435, for independent living under 55 was 90, for VR was 434. This quarter we have clients get job as assembler, food prep, fitness trainer, healthcare support worker, janitor, housekeeping, massage therapist, and mental health counselor. At the training center, 9 people are in training now. 5 of them are students and 4 staff trainees. 1 consumer stopped coming for training just a couple of weeks ago, but he is eligible to return when he is able to fully participate and he is dealing with some family issues. We also have an OIB consumer who is eligible to begin training as soon as his health issues are resolved. So up to a couple of weeks ago, we have 11 people getting training at the center. A new consumer is scheduled to begin training on May 15. There are 3 VR consumers and 1 OIB consumer who are eligible to start training as soon as their health and or family issues are resolved. There has been 6 3-day stays, and that means that we are going to continue having the center full. We also had 6 tours this last quarter. In addition, a couple of schools each brought around 25 students each, plus their staff and family members. We also provided tours to a teacher from Crete and a teacher from the Nebraska, well, I'm sorry, NCECVVI, Nebraska Center for the Education of Children who are blind and visually impaired, in case people don't know. Channel 8 in Lincoln did a story featuring one of our students on April 13. This student was from the center. Mark Coleman visited the Colorado Center for the Blind during the first week of February to shadow the student services coordinator and their apartment counselor. Mark has written safety protocols for the apartment to instruct students in the event of a tornado or fire, and he reviewed these with protocols with 3 days day clients and new students. These safety protocols were reviewed by the fire inspector who visited the apartments to make recommendations. Center staff has been certified on adult and pediatric CPR, first aid, and the use of the defibrillator. In addition, the evacuation and shelter-in-place procedure has been practiced for fires, tornadoes, and active shooters. This is also being already informed with the new students. There were two activities this quarter. The center staff and clients went to do bowling and also attended both state conventions of the American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind. Vocational seminar covered disclosing blindness during the job applications and interviews, and a discussion of the pros and cons of disclosing a blindness during the interview, as well as what is reasonable accommodation. TDOs cover deep cleaning of the bathrooms. Nebraska Business Enterprise, federal site. We had started negotiations with U.S. Stratcom for the renewal of the federal cafeteria, and we are negotiating prices, which is becoming the main issue. We are also working with the General Services Administration on developing a small site in Omaha. This will be for a federal agency scheduled to open a new office in the fall of 2024. State buildings. The remodeling of the dining area at the state office building in Lincoln is still underway. Food service continues to operate from the fourth floor break room. Remodeling work also continues at the Chief Standing Bear Building. Vending services continue to operate from the lobby area in this building. Vending machines were also installed at the Douglas County Justice Center, and a blind operator is running that facility. Vending services at the DHHS call center in Fremont began on April 26 with also a blind vendor operating the facility. MPE and the blind licensees are looking at having a training retreat by the end of the summer. That's the end of my report, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Carlos, I have a question.
Sure.
I just wanted to find out a little bit about the background of the person that was hired as the Lincoln District Supervisor. What is her background?
Okay, I will answer that, but also, Erin, if you can jump on that. She is a occupational therapist, was working on that area for a while. Then she also worked for the private sector, doing a lot of business type of work. And she realized that she wants to do actually both. She doesn't want to just do administration, she also wants to have contact with consumers. Just to make sure that people understand, we are having hard time hiring people with a background in blindness. Almost all of them have jobs, and Nebraska doesn't pay that well. So what we're looking at is looking for people with the right attitude, and we can train them, and that's what we are targeting for. Anything you want to add, Erin?
Unless Cheryl has more questions, I think that was a good overview.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. I was just checking to see, you know, what her background was, and I was curious about a background in blindness, and I know that it's tough to get people to come to work for the commission, you know, partly because of wages. Well, hopefully she will learn a lot in the center. Exactly.
As some of you know, my wife is also an occupational therapist, and my daughter is getting a master's in OT, and they are well educated about blindness, but most occupational therapists get a different training.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were interviewing her, I asked her that question, and I told her, I know what occupational therapists do, due to my wife and my daughter, and my own experience, and that we want to make sure that she understands what structural discovery is.
Mm-hmm.
So for the second interview, she did her homework, and well, even though we didn't give her homework, but she got the message. And she read a lot about structural discovery, and we were pleased with her answer. Yeah, so that was impressive, I think.
And her first few weeks of training are off to a really great start, so we're really optimistic about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can see the good attitude there. Many staff who go through the center training and have years working with us have difficulty articulating and giving examples about what the structural discovery is, and she was very good. Not only explaining it, but she said that she likes that approach. Okay, any other questions?
Not so much a question, Carlos, but I do have a comment kind of in line to what you were talking about with her. Is I know that in my line of work, getting an employee with experience is obviously great, but the best employee isn't necessarily always the employee with the experience. It's the employee who's willing to learn and willing to grow into that. And you can always come up with, you know, people who end up becoming outstanding employees.
Exactly, and we have here Kat, Erin, and Kat work, outstanding employer who didn't have background on blindness before.
Right.
Yeah.
And they went for training, and we are pleased with that. And like you said, there are some folks who have some background, and we did have one, and wasn't good. So there is a mix. That's why we are focusing on making sure that we get people with the right attitude, especially to learn and absorb our philosophy.
Awesome.
Yeah. Any other questions?
This is Miguel. Can you expand on the work that you're doing with UNL regarding the science stuff? The scientific stuff that you were doing for the blind? With it?
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
Robotics?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I remember exactly what we did. Erin, you can help me to jump in there too. What I'm hearing a lot is in the past, blind people didn't have access to science, and robotics was mainly not available to blind people, especially students. In the school system, they didn't do any of those areas. So we learned about this particular person, Dr. Gardner, who does robotics. He did work with NASA, so part of the NASA work per se was to do diversity training and to open training to other areas, like in this case people with disability. And what he saw was a challenge to work with blind people, and he liked challenges like most scientists. So he met with some blind scientists and he didn't know much about, and got some tips and put together some training and saw that was a success. So he did a presentation a few years ago where I was in that conference and invited him to come over. So we put that together almost a couple of summers ago. It was well attended. I think Cheryl, you were there too, right? You came to the banquet, I think? Or
I went to the banquet, yeah.
To the banquet, and it was kind of the presentation of finalizing the project. So we put that also on our web page. And one of the exciting things that we heard was that was a college student at UNO who wanted to take a robotic class, and the professor told her that blind people don't do robotics. So she started doing research, and she found in our webpage the video about this program. And she sent that link to the professor, and she was accepted to take that class. So based on that success, this year, Dr. Gardner is putting together an advanced robotic class, is that per se, or program. But we don't have enough students to have him come here to do that, so we're sending some of them. Is that Virginia, Aaron?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
In Virginia, yeah. So that's the summary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And then I have one more question. Regarding the woodworking stuff for the new hire.
Uh-huh.
So how's the woodworking going to go with the perspective of fixing the toilets or doing maintenance around the house? Is that just going to be two parts of the class that the students are going to be taking, or is it going to?
Actually, that's one of the reasons why he's also going to the Louisiana Center for the Blind, so he can learn how they do it there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because in the past we wanted to start implementing those trainings, but the shop instructor that we had, his background was mainly woodworking, and coming from the educational background, he wasn't necessarily excited about it and didn't know how to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
But this new person is open to those new ideas, and
awesome.
He already has some thoughts. And again, it's going there to bring up those ideas back to Nebraska.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And just an idea that popped in my head, Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who don't necessarily need to go to the center but would be interested in learning some of those skills, might be a good idea to see about doing like a seminar or something like that where he can teach some of us some of that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Because I know there are plenty of things I call my dad for to have him come fix my house that if I could fix myself, it would be perfect.
Yeah, me too.
I like that, Erin.
Got it written
you
down.
That'd be good, because I'm glad some of, that's what I told the instructor. I said, listen, I'm a blind guy. I grew up sighted, but a lot of things that are in America, like I didn't grow up with furnace or air conditioning, and sometimes there are simple things that I'm afraid to put my hand on it. You know, I lost one hand already. I don't want to miss a finger from my other hand. So I want to make sure what I'm doing, but I don't know the parts. So if we can have that, that would be great.
Yeah.
In fact, I started conversations with Hugh Fan, who is the new technology, technology manager. In the past, we wanted to buy a 3D printer, is that the term, 3D printer? But the main question was, okay, yeah, we will buy it, but who is going to operate it? You know, we got all excited about it, and then what? But who is going to do it? He owns his 3D printer. He knows how to do those things. And one of the examples we were talking about is, okay, start printing, let's say, the part of a furnace, part of the air conditioning. And he said, yeah, that would be great. So we can implement those at the shop. So we're already developing some ideas, okay?
I also know that that would kind of be helpful with me because with my job, because there are plenty of times where in my career working in hotels where I've had to jump in and help out with maintenance to jerry-rig things here and there, and have plenty of things that I know nothing about and that would help me so that we don't necessarily have to call my maintenance guy in on his day off.
Yeah,
and even women are interested in doing a lot of stuff too.
Exactly.
You know, because I'd even like to learn how to hang a picture on the wall properly and you know, nail it in properly. So, you know, just simple things like that that I don't know how to do, but I would sure love to learn how to do,
yeah.
So.
And I like Kat to be part of that training too, because she's good on doing those things. She teaches her husband how to do that. For what I hear.
There you go. No, I think that'd be awesome.
No, that's a great idea. Those are the type of things we are looking at to make things innovative. And you know, we had the funds, so let's try to schedule a time after Ted comes back from training. And if you could write down the areas you would like some training on, so
yeah, definitely.
We could kind of, you know, put together a seminar and then a follow-up. That would be one of the focuses in the future for like the Silver Summit. That would be something that people would love to do.
Definitely.
Anything else?
I do have another question, Carlos, and this might be something that's maybe a little off the subject, but with regard to the Silver Summit, I don't know if the two major organizations were contacted about that. I know that I heard about it kind of through the grapevine, and even though I won't be able to attend because I'm going to be out of town, it would be good to have some way of, I mean, if the agency did that already and contacted the consumer organizations, that's great. Maybe somehow I didn't get the message.
Yeah,
but if
did.
There would be some way of...
Yeah, we did.
You did. Okay,
yeah,
then
yeah.
Evidently I didn't get the message from my Jane. Consumer group, so
yeah,
I,
yeah.
You know, I...
We talked to Jane about it.
And
okay.
I talked to Robert Newman as well with the senior division and stuff a few different times. So, and then, yeah, we have the ACB, and then as soon as there was a change in... leadership there and stuff, we made sure to be in touch with it.
Okay.
Again.
Yeah. That's
thank
one
you,
of the things that I usually make sure to work on. And Mary knows that too. Yeah.
I think the leadership wasn't necessarily like pushing for those of us who aren't clients to attend it, maybe. Yeah, it was mentioned maybe. I don't remember if it was, but it might have been mentioned at our senior division meeting, but. I don't think people who aren't clients of the commission were really strongly encouraged to attend. It was basically, at least I didn't get that feeling. And like Cheryl, I can't anyway. But
yeah, well, technically speaking, for us, the Commission for the Blind to pay, they need to be clients.
Right.
But the consumer organizations, they can come and just let us know who wants to come and. Meaning we don't pay for them, they could come.
Sure.
Be part of that, like what Crystal Platt from the ACB said, well, I'm not going to be able to come, can I send a representative? Sure. Jim didn't want to come because he's so young, but he's coming, right, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to act old, he said.
One more question. For the radio campaign, is there any thought of having it in Spanish for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. that would be the next step. I just want to make sure that we have a system on, and then that would be the next step. And I'm not going to read it, but I might.
Any other questions for Carlos from the board? Okay. Next on the agenda is public comment. Any questions, comments, concerns from the public? Okay. I wasn't going to say anything.
We're not done yet. I'm still thinking.
Okay. Next is Newsline update. Kathy, if you could read that report that we got, please.
Sure. Do you have the mic?
Carlos has it. You can get it.
If I need it, probably.
Carlos, my comment. Thanks.
Okay, this is the Newsline update written by Kimberly Sherbarth, who is our NFB Newsline coordinator. During March, I attended the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska State Convention and was able to share information about Newsline as an exhibitor. I also attended the American Council of the Blind State Convention during April, where I also shared information about NFB Newsline. We had a few new subscribers added during the ACB State Convention. These numbers will be listed in our April new subscriber numbers. Nebraska newspapers continue to be highly accessed, and the number of magazines continue to be accessed more frequently than the last year at this time. Online access, such as NFB Newsline Mobile, web sessions, email, and in-your-pocket deliveries will still remain the most common method of accessing Newsline. And then she, that was her update. Then she also submitted a chart showing the number of subscribers for January, February, and March of this year. April's wasn't out yet at the time, but April will be included in next month or next quarter. These will all be on the website, so unless you have any questions about the statistics, that's her report.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Carlos, is there anything for the client assistance program?
Yeah, the only report is no complaints.
Okay.
Thank you. And then we have another period for public comment. Any comments from the public? Okay. And then we have a break. It says 10:20. I see that we're at 10:04 right now. Did you have a comment? Yeah, definitely. Gives us more time to debate whether or not we want to keep Carlos.
Please.
Start making that.
All I can do is my best.
So I'm showing it's 10:04 right now. If we want to reconvene at 10:10, does that sound good to everyone? Or 10:15, I mean? Does that sound good to everyone?
Yes.
Is that 10-minute break?